Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So, as usual, let's first clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the U.S. with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients, rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal issues, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many, many other health problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. And before we get started on today's topic, let me just remind you that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel syndrome, concussion, allergies, etc., by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the On Demand section, then scroll down and select the Your Health shows, and voila, you can click on the individual show by topic. An amazing convenience. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. It's the new school year. It's the hurricane season. Wait a minute, what does that have to do with anything? Well, we're going to start a new periodic series on climate change and your health. And hold on. If you don't believe in the notion of climate change and are getting ready to change the station, don't touch that dial. Just give me a minute and see how all of this really does affect your health, whatever you want to call the unprecedented changes in our environment that we are seeing. And however you want to explain those changes, there are nonetheless important consequences to our health, even here in the northeastern U.S. So we're going to start tackling those together. All right, so let's take a few minutes just to clarify what we are going to call climate change so everyone can stay on board here and learn about health and wellness in relation to this issue. Climate change means just that. The climate is changing. Climate does not equal weather. Weather is what happens around us every day. Rain, snow, daily high and low temperatures, fog, sun, clouds, etc. Weather changes daily, and around here it can change every few seconds. Climate is the larger category of meteorological conditions and patterns that happen over the long term in a given region of our planet, or even in terms of the entire planet. So, for example, the Amazon River flows through parts of the world that have a tropical climate. There are essentially no distinct seasons, and it stays warm all the time, to boil it down to generalities. On the other hand, in our area, we live in a temperate climate. There are four seasons, ranging from warm to cold, with the cold winter requiring dormancy of many plants and animals, including some of us, and seasonal migration of lots of birds. In another example, the famous Mediterranean climate includes an extended dry season, etc., etc. The weather in any of these climate zones can be quite variable from day to day, but it follows certain reliable patterns and trends that are distinctive to that particular climate, as does the planet Earth, or at least it has until recently. So if weather changes all the time anyway, then what's all this about climate change? Well, climate change characterizes unprecedented shifts and deviations from the usual climate characteristics in a given climate region or the planet as a whole. For example, the average temperature of the entire global climate has been rising in tandem with the carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere in an unprecedented way since the Industrial Revolution, because of something called the greenhouse effect. The short version of what the greenhouse effect is that as the CO2, that's carbon dioxide for short, concentration in the atmosphere goes up, energy coming from the sun becomes increasingly trapped in the atmosphere and cannot escape back into space, leading to a general warming trend on the planet. This does not imply that there will never be any unusually cold weather, but that overall, winters will trend to being warmer and shorter, summers will trend to being longer and hotter, seasonal patterns will trend to be destabilized, and the average temperature of the entire planet will rise, which is already documented, causing melting of ice caps, increased violent storms, unpredictable changes in rainfall and other precipitation, like snow, as well as drastically altered wind and ocean flow patterns, increased acid levels in the ocean, and, sadly, many other wildly unpredictable changes. The greenhouse effect was actually first described by a brilliant scientist named Fourier in 1824, but nobody paid any attention to him then. And it's been reiterated by scientists in varying contexts ever since. The steady and intense rise in CO2 concentration that has begun since the Industrial Revolution was first described by scientist John Keeling in 1959 and has been relentlessly documented by modern instrumentation to today, describing a colossal measured rise of atmospheric CO2 from the pre-industrial level of about 280 parts per million to more than 400 parts per million now. We don't really know what that will do to soils, oceans, permafrost, microbes, plankton, plants, sea, land animals, and us. But we already, unfortunately, do know of many ways that living things have been damaged by the effects of climate change, including human health. Climate change changes the weather, the seasons, the water, the air, the environment, and ecosystem stability. In other words, it changes the whole planet and everything that affects our health and well-being. I don't mean to be melodramatic here, but I do mean to point out the critical and immediate nature of the issue as it relates to our own health. Climate change is a function of global warming, but it does not necessarily translate to a gradual, uniform warming of our weather. It translates to an unraveling of the usual weather patterns and a degradation of the predictability of once reliable climate patterns. At a global level, in just one example, there has been a marked increase in the frequency of unprecedentedly severe storms, such as Hurricane Sandy or Typhoon Haiyan that wreaked havoc in the Philippines, and that have devastated many areas. When these storms happen, there is increased illness and death from increased disease, malnutrition, starvation, inadequate safe water, not to mention loss of farmland, industries, work, homes, sewers, etc. A more local chronic example of climate change, just in case you're still thinking you should change the dial, would be the inconsistency of rainfall patterns throughout the year. 100 years ago, the Northeast had a generally reliable, approximately 1 inch per week average of rainfall during the growing season, with a dry spell in late August and September. Now, not so much, right? We now have less frequent, heavier rains and storm-related rains, and less consistency in our annual rainfall amounts. The trouble with more of our rainfall delivery being from heavy storms is that there is more runoff and less soil permeation, so the fields, reservoirs, and forests actually receive less water, and there is more flooding with this kind of rainfall. So even if we wind up getting the same total amount of rainfall per year, less of it is going into the soils and aquifers, and more of it is running off as stormwater and being wasted. There are many national and international research and medical organizations attempting to characterize and predict what global climate change will do to the environment, weather, and human health. There is general agreement that we are already facing the following issues due to climate change: increased frequency and intensity of large destructive storms like hurricanes and typhoons, increased heat emergencies and demand for electricity, especially in urban areas, unpredictable changes in local rainfall patterns leading to extended droughts, like the current one in California, and associated disruptions in agriculture, food, and potable water supplies worldwide, including in North America, large-scale melting of polar ice caps and permafrost, leading to elevated sea levels and flooding, reduction of reflective ice surface at the poles, and significantly increased releases of methane gas from prior permafrost, leading to accelerated warming and who knows what else, and ecological degradation of forests and other habitats due to increased drought, disease, and insect activity. And there is general agreement that these changes will lead to many different impacts on human health, directly and indirectly. There's so much concern and research into this issue that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, the US EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the WHO, that's WHO for World Health Organization, not the old rock band, conduct active research into this issue and have extensive information and guidelines on climate change impacts on human health on their websites, just to name a few of all the major organizations involved. There are already significant increases in asthma, allergies, tick-borne diseases, malaria, and many other human illnesses associated with the greenhouse effect, global warming, and climate change. The National Institutes of Environmental Health have identified the following arenas of health as likely to be impacted by climate change. And these are by no means all of the physiological and psychological vulnerabilities. They are asthma, respiratory allergies, and airway diseases like COPD, cancer, cardiovascular disease and stroke, foodborne diseases and nutrition, heat-related morbidity and mortality, human developmental effects, problems for fetuses and children, mental health and stress-related disorders, neurological diseases and disordered, vector-borne and zoonotic diseases, in other words, disease carried by other organisms, waterborne diseases, and weather-related morbidity and mortality. We're going to explore many of these in much more detail in future shows. But meanwhile, I can hear some of you out there thinking, okay, so this climate change thing is a big health issue, but really, how's it going to affect me? So let me just give you a couple of examples right here, right now. Right now, it's fall allergy season, and I definitely hear a lot of you rolling your red eyes, sneezing, and saying, you didn't have to tell me that. Fall hay fever type allergies are triggered in most sufferers by the pollen of a fall flowering Native American plant called ragweed, which is actually, for those of you interested in botany, a fast-growing member of the Ambrosia genus, which is an aster cousin. It is not caused by our friends the goldenrods, with all the bright yellow flowers now covering the fields. Ragweed is indeed a raggy-looking, little inconspicuous plant with tiny flowers that produces incredible amounts of pollen that is particularly irritating to mucous membranes. Because of climate change resulting in an increased average temperature and disruptions in seasonal rainfall patterns with more dry periods, ragweed is outcompeting other plants even in our area and starting to produce pollen earlier in the season and with higher quantities and with continued production longer into the season than in the past, leading to far worsening allergies in many, many people. And that little example is just the tip of the iceberg. Many weeds are growing faster and more prolifically, are harder to control in agricultural settings, leading to higher and higher use of amounts of herbicides, which then have their own health impacts. So you can see there's a lot to think about and discuss, and we will be delving more deeply into some of these issues in future shows. Meanwhile, let me close up today with just a little bit about how all of this relates to osteopathic medicine. Osteopathic medicine helps our patients by working with you to optimize your health and vitality in a comprehensive and integrated way, and hence to optimize your adaptability and resilience in the face of unusual health and stress challenges. A good osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for addressing all kinds of health issues by helping your body adapt to and defend itself against new problems and maintaining excellent health. Osteopathy, as practiced by osteopathic physicians who are specialists in osteopathic manual medicine, can make a real difference in helping to optimize structure and therefore function in your body, no matter what the challenge is, with gentle, precise, hands-on work, and thereby help to keep you healthy and well all the time. So we will also go into more details on the osteopathic aspect of addressing climate change and health as well next time. But now I see that that's about all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and you'd like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m., or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.